I'm Jesse Robertson from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and this is Alaska Voices, a place for communities to connect through conversation in order to build a better tomorrow for Alaskans and the world.
Originally, I grew up in Gakona, Alaska.
Tyonek.
Egypt.
Idaho.
Grand Parc.
St. Lawrence Island.
St. Paul.
And I'm here with my student.
My science buddy.
My teacher.
My homie.
I'm his daughter.
My name is David Holen. I'm 45 years old, and I'm here talking with my colleague.
My name is Tina Buxbaum. I am 38 years old, and I am talking to David Holen, my colleague.
I guess I wanted to start with just talk a little bit about how you got into science. I know you're kind of on a second career at this point, but I wanted to talk about first how you got into fish and game and what drove you to go that direction.
Yeah, again, I'm originally from Wasilla, Alaska. My family's been here in Alaska for several generations. I grew up in kind of a rural area, and I lived on a lake in Wasilla called Cottonwood Lake, and it was part of a lake chain. And I went to Wasilla High School, and it was a very homogenous type of environment to grow up in. It was very white. There were two or three people in the school that were of different ethnicities, but for the most part, it was a very homogenous rural type of lifestyle. I had become really interested in culture throughout the world, and so I spent some time after graduating from there in different countries. I lived in South America for a year, and then I lived in France for a year. And in the late 90s, I got married and spent 2.5 years living in Africa, in Mali, West Africa, in a very small village on the edge of the Sahara Desert. So when I came back to Alaska, I had gone to the University of Alaska Anchorage, and I got a degree in Russian history there. And I came back, and they had a brand new anthropology program, a master's program. So I was able to get into that program, and I was the first graduate of that program. It was an applied cultural anthropology program. I realized that where I had grown up, I knew nothing of the culture of that area. So it was really beneficial for me to learn about that. I had spent all my time learning about cultures all over the world, and I didn't know anything about the cultures of my own state or the area that I lived in. It turns out that where I grew up, there was actually a site underneath my mother's garden, a Kachemak tradition site, probably about 1,000 years old. I dug up some stone tools. I was out planting some trees for my dad, and then just left the detritus around, and it rained at night, and he came out in the morning. He said, "You do realize you dug up some stone tools last night." And so I worked at the Matsu Bureau at the time in their cultural resources department while I was going to graduate school, and became really interested in anthropology in the local area. And I realized that I also lived at my parents' house where I grew up on Cottonwood Lake, was less than 1/4 mile from Benta, which was the site of Chief Wasilla's, his old home site and village, which he was very influential in that area. So,
does your family still live in Wasilla? Your dad's still around?
No, my parents migrated. Both of my parents were raised here. My grandparents on my mom's side came because of the military in the 1950s and stayed. And then my grandfather came because his brother ran a sheep camp in the Wrangell Mountains. He guided polar bear hunters off the Arctic coast during the wintertime. I jokingly say that my family is probably partially responsible for the Marine Mammal Protection Act because his hunters took so many polar bears. So that was my great uncle, and my grandfather came to help him in his enterprise. They had lots of planes, and they took hunters from Anchorage and flew them out to the Wrangell Mountains. And my dad worked up there a couple of summers helping guide and learned how to fly a little bit. My grandfather learned how to fly, even though he never had a pilot's license. He was a professional bartender, and he would fly back from the Wrangell Mountains and land on the Muldoon Road right in front of his bar and go in and tend bar and then get back in the plane and go down the street and, you know, take off. Sometimes he'd fly across town when Anchorage was, you know, not well connected like it is today. That's what brought my family here. Both my parents grew up here, and my mother finally got tired of it, and she wanted to jokingly live down in America. So they migrated to America. My family lives on the Oregon coast. My father still comes back 3 times a year. He really misses it here. So we actually bought a new house that has a space for him.
So you've been around in the valley and here for a very long time. What's the biggest change that you've seen between the valley and Anchorage?
The number of people. It used to be I could go into any store or anywhere in town and I would see people I know all the time. You know, and it was a very small town, and I think now it's so large that I still do that. I still see people I know, but I think it's really the number of people that are here now. And it's become quite built up, and, you know, we have all the national chains here now, so it used to be a lot more mom-and-pop shops. And when I was growing up in Wasilla, we'd sometimes go down to a place called Thielen's, which was this little store that sat on the corner in Wasilla, and there used to only be one stoplight hanging from the middle of the road. It had four sides on it, and that was the only stoplight on a two-lane road that ran through Wasilla. You know, we had a larger grocery store. It wasn't very big, but Thielen's was the place where you could go buy candy. And so us kids would sometimes go into town, and we'd be able to, like, go into Thielen's. It was an old store. It used to be called Herning's, and later on in life, you know, when I started doing work for the Matsuburo and the Cultural Resources Department, I realized that that was the building that was hauled down from Kinnick by horses. And it used to be called Herning's. And so they placed it there on the corner and later moved it to put a gas station in. But it's still there in Wasilla. And, you know, that's the change. I mean, you had a town that was really a four-way stop. And, you know, with a nice country store right on the corner. And now it's, you know, you can get just about anything you need there, which is convenient. But I still drive through there quickly when I go up to Talkeetna, where my cabin is. But even, you know, in that area, in the northern part of the Susitna Valley, you don't have that distance anymore. I feel like everything seems to be very close. You know, it can take me 2 hours to get from my house to my cabin, which is just about right for me.
Alaska Voices builds bridges by creating a space where community members, friends, policymakers, and scientists can share stories and place-based knowledge. This project was developed in partnership with StoryCorps and was funded by the Alaska Climate Adaptation Science Center. Additional funding was provided by the University of Alaska Fairbanks Chancellor through a generous gift from the Bentley Family Trust to the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Alaska Voices would not be possible without the help and efforts of an amazing group of people. Our producer and audio engineer is Kelsey Skonberg of Mossy Stone Media. Our podcast and outreach specialist is Mike DeLue. And our website designer is Carolyn Rosner. If you are interested in more conversations or information, please visit our website at alaskavoices.org.